Morgan Reynolds, Ph.D., is professor emeritus at Texas A&M University and former director of the Criminal Justice Center at the National Center for Policy Analysis, which is headquartered in Dallas, Texas. He served as chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor during the 2001-2002 George W. Bush's first term. He's our guest now on Coast to Coast. Morgan, thank you at this short notice of coming on the program. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good evening, George.
Yes. I would guess that as compelling as your remarks are, the fact that you had worked in the U.S. Department of Labor during George Bush's first term is probably the reason this media now is jumping all over this story. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. It's a credentialism thing. It's political. It's pretty sexy looking. Yep.
How long have you carried this view that you believe something else happened to the Twin Towers and to Building 7?
Well, the first doubt was when 9/11 occurred, and I looked at the TV and said, that building won't fall. And then XX minutes later, they both collapsed. And I was stunned. I didn't know what to make of it. I said, how could I have been so wrong? And, of course, most of the public and experts alike were stunned. And then it just, I put it on the back shelf. I didn't suspect government complicity during my tenure there of 16 months. And I think, too, gradually I came to the view that there's just too many gaps in the official story. And the war in Iraq really made me look at their willingness to lie willy-nilly on behalf of the good cause, the WMDs, the Iraqi involvement in 9/11, completely bogus, the yellow cake in Niger forgery. And then David Ray Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor, I thought was extremely effective. It's he's the guy more along my style, and I was very impressed with his analysis.
And David Ray Griffin will be part of our roundtable discussion, by the way, in just 35 minutes or so. So you'll be able to sit at home and listen to some of those thoughts, if you would, Morgan. I'd appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Gates, and I want to clear this up now, who's the president of Texas A&M, where you, of course, had the honor of being professor emeritus. And I just read a quote. They are distancing themselves from your views. But I'm not seeing anybody pick up the fact that this fella once headed up the CIA, and I think that's important to point out.
Right, under George Herbert Walker Bush, and he's a Bush loyalist, you've got to be the building is named after, the CIA building in Langley is named after George Herbert Walker Bush, and Gates is as I understand it, I have to confirm this, but I believe he's a 27-year veteran of the CIA. So he's a spook from the get-go, black budget, billions of dollars, all the stuff the CIA has done over the years, although they did a laydown on along with all the other agencies on 9/11. Massive failure, nobody disciplined. What's going on here? So he, and as far as an academic, he's a smart guy, of course, and he's got gravitas. He's an impressive man. But why is he heading a major university? Well, the powers that be said he will. The faculty, of course, have no input on that.
No real input. I will have, of course, in this discussion, a number of people with a number of views. Some will agree with what you're saying right now. Others will not. But I think it's important that everybody at least have an opportunity to hear these different views, these different sides. Now, in this particular case with you, Morgan, what did you look at specifically, besides just what you saw on that very horrible day on 9/11? What did you look at over the years that started to really move you in the direction that the collapse of the Twin Towers in Building Number 7 was not merely the part of those planes that crashed in there? And, of course, with Building 7, we're hearing all kinds of things. One is that it was a forced detonation and everything else. But what was it that really changed your mind?
Well, there's no single thing. I've done a lot of homework, but I've got to do more because I still haven't resolved a number of issues that are open. But to me, the characteristics of the implosions of those three steel skyscrapers, unprecedented collapses in the history of steel frame skyscrapers, and the inadequate explanations here that are offered by the official account don't stack up. What I say is that if you look at the wide picture, all the phenomena, including the near free fall collapse, the wrong tower falling first, the pulverized concrete that can't be explained by any kind of pancake fall down, where you'd get a lot of cracked concrete down at the bottom, but and then the small stacks. There are just so many facts that don't figure, that can't be accounted for in the. And then of course the Building 7 may be the most dramatic situation of all, where the 99-year leaseholder, Larry Silverstein's on record saying, talking to one of the fire commanders, just pull it. Which, you know, we've suffered so much. There's some these two small fires.
And that's terminology for let's knock it down.
Right. And you can't do that in the next few minutes, right? You've got to have it wired. So that's an amazing admission with, as I understand it, no retraction yet.
Would you agree that there's a possibility that if you are correct, it isn't government that's complacent, but maybe some people who are out to profit from this tragedy?
In terms of who the direct perpetrators are?
Yes, that they control areas of government, but I've long believed that if there was any involvement like that, that it was above government.
Oh, okay. Sort of what, the global Illuminati, etc.?
Perhaps, even though the players may be one and the same.
Well, I'm not an authority on that. I would rather stick with the things that we can confirm. For example, the project for the new American century in December of 2000 calls for a global military preeminence and says, well, if you get these kinds of budgets and projects, maybe the American public we'd have to have a new Pearl Harbor. And guess what? 9 months later, we have one. Coincidence? I don't know, but there's so many of these markers out there that it's not been resolved. So 9/11, which is an integral part of our life every day, the consequences have been immense, and every day, Iraq, that invasion would not have been rubber stamped by the Congress and the American public without some dramatic event like 9/11 having occurred. And we can't get rid of this until we get to the bottom of it.
So you are saying specifically what, Morgan? What do you believe?
Well, the article I don't like proceeding to the bottom line in one big leap without some preparation. And I'm more of the inchworm, even though I think I see the big picture.
And I've always just cut to the chase, so
right.
Maybe you and I can work on some middle ground.
These
here
are different styles. So I think the real failure here is, well, there's a lot of failures, but the worst failure here is to have a convincing explanation of how these buildings fell. There are all kinds of problems, of course, with such a massive crime and a mass murder, and there's lots of things we still don't understand. And to put out that 9/11 commission stuff, here's one of my personal experiences that bears on this whole question. When I was in the Department of Labor, the Secretary of Labor remarked about how, when 9/11 occurred, the two Secret Service guys virtually picked her up and hustled her out, and you go to secret places, they have alternative plans. Well, what did President Bush do when we're, quote, at war, unquote?
Well, he was pretty calm down in
right.
Sarasota, Florida.
And the Marine holding the nuke phone, when he heard about this attack, he said, we're out of here. Well, that guy, based on that, I say is innocent. He wasn't in on it. But the secret, the president doesn't say where he's going to be at that point. The Secret Service takes him. They just take him.
Well, and one
to
of
get
the,
him out of danger.
True. And one of the things that was very unusual was that the motorcade going back to the plane, to Air Force One, just kind of took its own time. It wasn't as if it was concerned that there
right.
was...
Right, and they had no fighter escort initially. There's just... This thing is just horrible. What... kind of the way they did it is just so, you know, it's like, catch me, stop me before I kill again.
All right, but what about these crazed fundamentalists, Morgan, who indeed were in this country, were trying to learn how to fly planes? There's no question mm-hmm. that what's been going on since, you know, the information that we get, unless everything is just made up, that bin Laden was part of this. If not, depending on what view you look at, entirely responsible
yeah.
for it. I
yeah.
mean, what about all that? I mean, are you
well,
saying that that didn't happen?
No, probably a lot of it did, but what you have is a plausible explanation, of course, are Fall Guys. You have all these false flag operations. Most of this, these secret black budgets are going for disinformation of various kinds, psyops, and I can remember... Remember Lee Harvey Oswald? He's going through the Dallas jail and he's yelling at the media, "I'm the Fall Guy.
I'm the Patsy. I'm the Patsy."
Yeah, I'm a Patsy, and that's what I would say these guys are. And that's part of the problem of the 9/11 researchers and the various ideas about what's going on. You know, they really confused a lot of things.
So what we can say, in terms of your views, and you stop me because I don't want to paraphrase you, your whole approach to this is something is very, very wrong.
Something
things don't make
wrong.
Sense.
Yeah, and if you just proceed on a narrow forensic path, because I like that evidence best as a criminal justice expert as opposed to eyewitness testimony, of course it's best to have everything all in a line, but usually there's differences. And if you just take a look at this, these collapses, for example, or the debate over the opening in the Pentagon, by any standard, it's just too small. Even the best attempts I see to get a squeeze of 757 at a 45-degree angle through there, it just doesn't work. Well, I see the same thing in the towers, although some researchers say, well, I don't know, it kind of the 20-foot ends on each wing are kind of missing and didn't penetrate. I'm going, man, this is so hard to, when most plane crashes into a building, create a much bigger wreck than just trying to narrowly admit the plane itself.
What made you, Morgan, decide to go public with this now?
Well, actually, this is kind of a media event. How these things happen is a little mysterious, but because I've been writing for a couple of years on LouRockwell.com, in the same vein, it's very critical of the Bush administration on foreign policy, war, and 9/11 suspicions. But this piece I did on June 9th vaulted the usual banks that I'm swimming in, and the UPI picked it up. This guy Szymanski made up an interview. I never talked to him. And the Washington Times, for whatever reason, these near mainstream and mainstream channels went with it. Like you said, it was probably because of credentialism.
Well, and there's no question. And I've got to tell you, because of the internet, which is where I saw this first a few days ago when I reported on this, I thought that there was a strong possibility until we talked to you that somebody made up the story and just floated it on the internet. You know, that's a possibility. That's
yes,
always
it is.
A danger.
It is.
So I'm glad we were able to get a hold of you, Morgan, and at least
yeah, I'm real.
Your views. You're real. You're out there.
Yeah.
Very quickly, one last question. What kind of heat are you getting since this has now gone so widespread?
Oh, a lot of heat. But after the third day, I begin to live with it, okay?
All right. Let's stay in touch, okay?